Whether you're a fan of Broadway, symphony, ballet, or chamber music, there's something for everyone when it comes to the performing arts in Maine. Today, on this Valentine's Day, we thought it would be fun to get a rundown of some of the performances that you won't want to miss this upcoming season. Today's show also might help you with any last-minute Valentine's gifts in case you were late in getting a gift for that someone special. With me in studio to help preview some of what's going on in our state in the way of live performance, our very own Robin Rylette. She's the morning classical music host and is music director for Maine Classical. Emily Isaacson is also in studio with us. She's artistic director of the Oratorio Chorale and Maine Chamber Ensemble. She's also associate artistic director of the Portland Bach Festival and director of choral activities at Clark University. And on the line with us is Kurt Dale Clark, artistic director at the Maine State Music Theater. As always, we want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite places to see a production? Our number, 800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome all of you to Maine Calling. We're going to start with my wonderful colleague, Robin. What a treat it is to be on a to do a show with you.
I know.
I had dreams about this, and now it's.
I feel privileged to be sitting next to you.
And you're witnessing it. It's beautiful, Robin. What's your impression here, having done what you've done at Maine Classical and so accustomed yourself to this place that we live in now? How would you characterize the performing arts community in Maine as it compares to some of the other places that you've lived?
I don't know if I could compare so much to other places, but I can say that it is very rich, it is varied, and it is peopled by really passionate people, whether it's dance or theater or music of all kinds. People here really care about the arts, and there's all these small groups who are putting on some amazing performances and bringing in amazing performers from not just around Maine, but around the country and around the world. There's really a vibrant scene. And I've been here for almost 3 years now. And I feel like in some ways I'm still scratching the surface of everything that Maine has to offer.
In some ways, what we know or sense of what Maine has to offer kind of bubbles up through arts calendars or, you know, a poster here and there. But this show, I will probably, hopefully, illustrate, I think, very directly some of what you're talking about. There's a whole lot going on, and we'll talk about that and why some of these pieces have been chosen and what we hope the audience would like to take away. Emily, we'll start with you here since you're in the studio with us. Tell us what's going on. You're artistic director of the Oratorio Chorale and Maine Chamber Ensemble. Do you want to start there or start anywhere? What's coming up that you think?
Oh my gosh, there is so much music.
That's
great music this spring.
Much.
I know. Where do you start? Well, maybe we should start chronologically since you were talking about good last minute
gifts.
Valentine's Day gifts. Yeah. So Oratorio Chorale's next production, which is at the end of February, is a concert called Bach Plus to celebrate our collaboration with the Portland Bach Festival, which I'm hoping we'll get to talk about a little bit later. But it's essentially two pieces that I have wanted to conduct my entire life and haven't had a chance. And I am just obsessed with this music. It's unbelievable. So it's Heinrich Schütz's Musikalische Exequien, which sounds really esoteric, but is this incredible work. It is a collaboration between the man who imagined it, Possumus von Reyes, and Heinrich Schütz, who is arguably the best composer before Bach and had a huge influence on Baroque music. And then J.S. Bach's Jesu meine Freude, which is it's a motet, but it's really more like a choral cantata. It's 11 movements long. Just breathtaking. And what I find so, I could conduct both of these works every day of my life and never get bored. They are absolutely on my desert island. And what I find so incredible about them, I mean, there's so many things I'm not quite sure where to start, but they technically, they're both funeral pieces. Technically, they're both about death, but they're actually really about life. They're about the celebration of life and hope and humanity and the places that we find comfort.
That's all of Bach's music.
It's so true. It's so true. But I think it's even really more prevalent here in the way that he plays with texture and the different instrumentations. And they're both just stunning, stunning works. And it's going to be at St. Mary's and St. Paul's, St. Mary's in Falmouth and St. Paul's in Brunswick, which are both really intimate settings. So if you're looking for a gift for your sweetie, they're beautiful, beautiful works. The concert's only about an hour and it's really intimate. So you get to see and hear the music right up next to you. So
okay, no, that's when. And when is that?
That is February 25th in Falmouth at St. Mary's, and two showings on Sunday, February 26th. Although I have to warn people that the 2 o'clock show is already almost sold out. So
oh, good for you.
Yeah, word is out.
And well, how do you get tickets? Would you go online for that?
Yeah, you can go on oratoriocorral.org, and there are tickets. We'll direct you to tickets from our website.
Yeah. Sorry, Robin.
Well, I had another quick one. If you're talking about Valentine's Day gifts, it's not too late. You can extend Valentine's Day. Alan Cumming is going to be singing some sappy songs. Mm. This is his one-man show that has been getting some really good reviews. He's being brought in by Portland Ovations, and they have, again, that unbelievably varied program that they present during their season. And Alan Cummings will be here on Saturday, February 18th at Merrill Auditorium. And there are some others. I mean, this is a point where I want to point out Maine Public's community calendar. It's at mainepublic.org. You go to events and then community calendar. There's a great list of all kinds of events. We're focusing on the performing arts today. But I would encourage you, if you have any kind of concert that's coming up that you would like people to know about, that's what that calendar is for. And it's a great resource. I use it very heavily on Wednesdays when I prepare my arts preview program, Prelude, which airs on Thursday. So it's a wonderful way for you to let other people know what your group is doing.
All right. Excellent. And of course, if you have something to add to the conversation, the number again, 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. We'll come back to you, Emily, with some more of what's on the calendar, looking further out. I do want to bring in Kurt Dale Clark, Artistic Director at the Maine State Music Theater. And welcome to the program first, Kurt. Can you hear
Thank
us?
Thank you so much. Yes, yeah. I can. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And I do
Hi,
have a
Hi, Kurt.
I have a question for you. Ever meet a fellow by the name of Hill? And that is a cryptic joke about the Music Man. And I bring this up because you're working on a production currently?
Currently working on Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, okay.
At the Fulton Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, the joke makes no sense. however, I will use it to plug the fact that I was in a community production of Music Man this past summer, and we have another show, I think, coming up in Thomaston at Watts Hall. I'll try to work that plug in. Anyway, welcome to the program. You are, as we said at the top, Artistic Director at the Maine State Music Theater. Tell us about your schedule.
We have this summer, we have a packed lineup. We have Always Patsy Cline, Guys and Dolls, Grease, and Disney's Newsies. Those are our main stage shows. Our special event concerts include Tommy, which is the intern concert, and then a musical of 50s girl group music called Taffetas, which is also happening at Maine State Music Theater. And we also have the Hank Band coming to Maine State Music Theater. And then our TYA, Theater for Young Audiences, performances this summer are Sleeping Beauty and Alice in Wonderland. The Sleeping Beauty and Alice in Wonderland performances, they sell out very quickly. So it always makes me feel bad that we can't do more of them because it's the only offerings, TYA offerings that we have. But that's what you get. That's
sure,
what
sure.
Got time for, so.
Kurt, I have a 3.5-year-old. Are audience members allowed to come dressed up as Sleeping
Absolutely.
Beauty and/or any other princess?
It. Yes, please. We love it. We love it. And there always are many, many, many young folks dressed up. And I love it when little girls that are dressed up stand in front of other girls that are dressed up, and they're like, "Wait a minute, I'm wearing that."
What about dancing in the aisles? Is that also allowed?
Absolutely, you bet. Go for it.
Encouraged. It always strikes me that that the Maine State Music Theater is never sort of in this quandary that many other performing arts organizations have, which is, you know, do we do something, you know, that's sort of risky and artistic that may not sell a lot of tickets, or do we stick with the sort of tried and true that we'll get bottoms in the seats? Mostly, every one of your shows is fun and sure to draw.
Well, we're lucky. We are blessed with a very, very, very loyal audience, and this year we'll break 9,000 subscribers. So we actually do have the ability to do some other things. We try to make sure that we're taking care of our subscription, and we try to spread the shows out and sort of give sort of a flavor of different things throughout the season. But in recent years, we have done shows like Chamberlain, which was a new musical and pretty risky for us. And because of the strength of the subscription and the number and the shows that we put around it, we felt safe doing that. And we will do more of that sort of in the future, I think, too. We wanted to make sure that base really strong, and I think we've succeeded at doing that. But one of my favorite parts about Maine State Music Theater brings me back to something that Robin said at the beginning of this conversation, and that the sort of the duality of purpose for Maine State Music Theater. I think we provide that theatrical offering for anybody in our area that sort of doesn't exist at that level anywhere else in Maine. And we give them that, but what we get from it is the people that we bring from New York and California and wherever else we bring to do those shows. When they come and they do a show here, sometimes it's hard to get them to come here in the first place because they think, oh, that's so far away, and do I really want to do that? I promise you, once I get them here, they always want to come back, and that's a testament to the state of Maine.
Yeah. This might be a good time to ask this question. How is Maine doing in terms of developing its own talent? I'll start with you, Kurt. You do bring in these sort of professional actors to seed these shows and ramp it up a bit. But can you draw on local talent as well? And what's the developing pool of new young performers, and not just performers, but directors and administrators and visionaries and all of that?
Absolutely. I'm thrilled that you asked that question. When I first got to Maine State Music Theater, there was sort of a bent against using anybody local because they felt like, how can we charge our ticket prices if we're using the same people that are working on stages that are charging less? The reality is the housing issue has caused us to look at trying to figure that out. And schools like University of Southern Maine have helped us a great deal. I always end up with kids from USM, and they work their butts off, and they do great jobs, and it's great for both them and for us. As far as directors and choreographers, we have a number of fantastic people that live in the state of Maine, which is very, very helpful to us, again, largely because of the housing issue. And you're right, the blend is what makes it really perfect, getting some locals and the Broadway talent, and even some every now and then some star talent from maybe Hollywood or whatever. That combination sort of seems to be the ticket that works the best for us.
And, yeah. Kurt, I just want to interject here that I've been backstage at a number of your productions, and there is such a feeling of joy and camaraderie at Maine State Music Theater. It's just, and the performances are infectious. And when you're backstage and you see everyone from the people who are putting together the props to the costume designers, there's just this wonderful spirit of, let's put on a show together. And it speaks to what you're talking about and what you were getting at, Keith, about training the next generation, because you bring in some of the professionals and then they get to work with the people who want to learn this craft, and it's just a wonderful combination.
I'd like to, Kurt, this is Emily Isaacson, and we haven't met before, but I knew Chuck Abbott quite well. I actually largely account going into becoming a performer professionally with Maine State Music Theater. I did a ton of shows growing up. And just as Robin said, backstage, as I started when I was in fourth grade with you guys, and as a fourth grader growing up in Brunswick, Maine, a place that was largely obsessed with soccer, to see these professional musicians who had devoted their entire life to this art form and were so excited about it, it was my heaven. I mean, I you guys gave me the bug that I have never let go, and I'm incredibly grateful for that exposure, both as an audience member and especially as being a backstage person included.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. I hope Chuck knows you said that, because he would be very happy.
He also terrified me.
Of course. The thing that I am very proud of is our intern program. That intern program, one of the selling points for that intern program is that they're going to stand alongside Broadway talent, Broadway directors, Broadway choreographers, Broadway designers. And it's part of the reason, the way that we get them to come to Brunswick and give us their summer. And the thing that I'm most proud of is what happens from that intern program. My very first year that I was the artistic director at Maine State Music Theater, we had 48 former interns working on Broadway. And that was pretty cool when we totaled it up and figured it out. Also, opening night of Bridges of Madison County, my partner Stephanie Duple, the managing director at Maine State Music Theater, and I were at the Bridges of Madison County opening night, and three former Maine State Music Theater interns were in the cast of, I think, 13 or 14 people.
Wow.
And it was a really good feeling.
And you said, Emily, that he scared you, but part of this this experience, though, is also the, I mean, it's not just a fun camp experience. There's some, you know, it's not for everyone. You have to love it and accept the fact that there is pressure to do well, to listen, and to not screw up, and you know.
Absolutely. Not to tout my own horn, but I have a doctorate and two masters in music, and I would say about 15% of what I do now is from that 10 years of education, and 90% is from what I learned from Chuck Abbott and Al Miller at the Theater Project and Lewis Kaplan at the Bodenser Music Festival formerly and now with Portland Bach Festival. Chuck taught me so much about discipline and focus, and I remember doing a production where I had 101 fever, and the show goes on. Like, you do it no matter what.
Right, and Emily, I haven't met you yet, but I can't wait to meet you.
Let's go get a beer.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll meet some more folks, talk about some more productions that are coming up, and we want to hear, of course, from you. The number is 800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Maine Health, working with member organizations like Waldo County General Hospital, so our communities are the healthiest in America. MaineHealth.org.
Next time with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, pianist Yuja Wang plays Prokofiev's electrifying third piano concerto. We'll also hear Shostakovich's Leningrad Symphony, a work that echoes with the dark rhythms of war. Prokofiev and Shostakovich, next time with the CSO. I'm Lisa Simeone.
And you can hear that this evening at 8 o'clock on Maine Public Classical. Work continues to improve the ways you can listen to Maine Public Classical. Ellsworth, Blue Hill, MDI, Machias, and Downeast area listeners are now enjoying our newest Maine Public Classical FM signal, 93.7 Millbridge MDI, a strong signal that also reaches inland and down the coast quite a bit. If you're in Portland or surrounding communities and haven't recently tried our Maine Public Classical FM signal, 104.1, give it another try. We've made a few adjustments to bring Maine Public Classical to a larger area. You may now find that 104.1 FM works for you. And if you stream Maine Public Classical live at mainepublic.org on your desktop, your tablet, your Apple or Android device, we've now added a new higher quality stereo stream. Enjoy.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, the performing arts scene in Maine. In studio with me, Emily Isaacson. She's the artistic director of the Oratorio Chorale and Maine Chamber Ensemble. She's an associate artistic director of the Portland Bach Festival and director of choral activities at Clark University. Robin Rylette, the morning classical music host, and who is also music director at Maine Classical and one of my favorite colleagues, and on the line with us, Kurt Dale Clark, artistic director at the Maine State Music Theater. And we invite you to join the conversation. The number is 800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're going to bring in another guest now. Carolyn Nishan is executive director of the Portland Symphony Orchestra. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be a part of the conversation. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Nice to have you here. I'm going to Robin has a question for you because
it's the burning question, and you know what it is, Carolyn. What was the announcement this morning at 10:30? Can you share with us?
Absolutely. So we had a big morning. It was supposed to be last night, but as many of you probably experienced, there was a lot of snow outside. So we announced our 17-18 season this morning, and there are two kind of key areas that make next season so important and so exciting. So next year will be Robert Moody's 10th and final season with the Portland Symphony, and it will be a celebration of his time with the organization. We'll be closing the whole season with Mahler's second symphony, and that's the Resurrection. And that will be a huge nod to him and to his time with the orchestra. And then the second key thing that we announced was our four music director finalists for the search that we've been in. And those four finalists will be joining us on stage in Merrill next year as well. So Robert will be conducting five classical concerts and the Magic of Christmas. And these four candidates will each be conducting one classical concert and one pops concert. And the four finalists, I will reveal to you now, just hot off the press, Ken David Mazur, who is also the assistant conductor for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. He is, you will see him again for both the classics and the pops. Daniel Meyer, who is currently the music director of the Asheville Symphony and the Erie Philharmonic. Alexander Micklethwaite, who is the music director of the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. And Eckhart Proy, who was just named music director of the Long Beach Symphony and also serves in Spokane and Stamford as well. So we have a really excited, very talented, very experienced lineup of four candidates that are going to be joining us on stage next year, and we're just so thrilled.
I have to say that I got a little jolt when you said Eckhart Proy, because I worked in the Pacific Northwest for a long time, and I thought he just took the Spokane Symphony to another level. I thought he was amazing. So this sounds like a wonderful lineup, Carolyn. You must be really excited.
We are so excited. I have a really amazing team that we've been working with, and it's comprised of half musicians, and then committee members are also made up of trustees and members of the community at large. But we really wanted to make sure that the musicians had a key role in this discussion. So there's a member from each musical family of instruments that is on the committee. And we had the task of receiving actually 240 applications from men and women all over the world, and going through all of them, seeing them conduct, watching their videos. We actually also, it was very important to us to request a video of them communicating to an audience how they connect to our audiences about symphonic and classical music. So that played a key role, reference checks, all of these types of things, to make sure that we are finding the right fit for the PSO. A number of years ago, we really refined our mission and our direction and decided that this orchestra serves our community by enriching lives through music, and that is all ages, all walks of life. And so that's just been so important for us as we've gone through this really exciting process.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's interesting information. And we want to make sure that we get some of the upcoming schedule also in here, because we've got a lot of folks coming in. So jump right into it, if you would, Carolyn. How much, what would you say first off that's maybe coming up most recently for those who are interested in stepping out and enjoying the symphony?
Absolutely. Well, we actually have a concert tonight to celebrate Valentine's Day. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, box office is open right now. It's Beethoven Symphony No. 2 and Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2 at Merrill Auditorium, 7:30. And as I was preparing, I realized that everything I was going to share about what is coming up, it all starts with B. So Beethoven 2 coming up tonight. And then Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a dedication to the album being out for 50 years. You can catch that at Merrill February 25 and 26. And Jeffrey Reed is bringing his band, and he's going to be our guest conductor there. And then in March, we're doing the Brahms Requiem. And then final B, we're wrapping up Beethoven's Ninth in April, and we'll have one more classical concert in May, Tchaikovsky's Pathetique, the Sixth Symphony.
And Emily, I think you're involved in two of these concerts with the PSO. Is that correct?
That's right. Oratorio Chorale and Choral Arts are collaborating with Portland Symphony Orchestra on both the Brahms Requiem and Beethoven 9.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about kind of enriching all lives through music, one other thing to note is that we are going to be having what we call our family discovery series, Beethoven Lives Upstairs, on March 26th.
Oh, that's a great piece.
Yeah, and it tells the story of this. It's fictional, but it's about this little boy who lives on the flat below Beethoven. And it's our discovery series. They're an hour long, and we encourage parents and grandparents to bring the kids, and there's an instrument petting zoo is what we call it, an hour or an hour and a half before the concert, and they can try all of the instruments, and then they go upstairs and hear the professional musicians play them on stage. So that's what's coming up.
Right. Beethoven cool. Lives Upstairs is really, I think, a rather amazing work. It's from this series produced in Canada called Classical Kids. And I love it because they focus on a composer, but they make the children the protagonist of the story that they're telling. So it really puts young people right into the mix. They're really great. I'm so glad to hear you're doing that.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
All right, Carolyn Nishan, thank you so much. Executive Director of the Portland Symphony Orchestra, thanks for joining us and for sharing the news and information. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
Keith, do I have time to mention a couple of the other symphonies and what's coming up for the rest of their season?
Sure.
I wanted to let you know that Lucas Richmond with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra, they're doing something that I think would also be a great thing for families and those of us who are young at heart and rather geeky. They're celebrating the music of Star Wars, so that appeals, I think, to a broad group of people. That's coming up on the 4th. And Emily, you were really interested in their May concert on celebrating women.
Yeah, so maybe in the vein of the Women's March, or I don't know if they were thinking about that when programming. But I was really caught that they are featuring Fanny Mendelssohn. She's become a hot topic in classical music lately because Fanny and Felix Mendelssohn, obviously being the composer we know better, were trained alongside each other. And when we look historically at letters, it seems that a lot of people thought that Fanny was more talented than Felix was. But her father decided that it was inappropriate for her to pursue music at such a high level and to perform in public. And so he wanted music to just be, quote, an ornament in her life. And so she would, you know, the Mendelssohns had this amazing salon series in their home, something that I hope to do in the future. And sometimes Fanny would be allowed to perform there. But it's thought now that many of Felix Mendelssohn's compositions were actually written by Fanny, and then his name was attached so that they could be printed and performed and sent around. And so there's a lot of research being done right now looking back at that relationship. And I'm very excited for that concert.
All right. Let's bring in Michael Greer, Executive Director of the Portland Ballet, to represent this other stage. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. Keith, Robin, Emily, and Kurt. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Let's talk about dance and its role in this performing arts community. We've been talking a lot about music, but dance certainly has its foothold. Oh, sorry. how does it fit? How do you see it as a part of the mix?
Well, I think the Portland community is really rich, and we're very lucky to have a number of different art forms that thrive here. And, you know, as far as Portland is concerned specifically, we've got the PSO in Portland Symphony Orchestra. We have Portland Museum of Art, Portland Stage. And I think Portland Ballet offers dance to this cohort, and we're just really enjoying being an integral part of the art scene here.
Okay. Talk a little bit about what you have coming up on the schedule.
Well, our upcoming performance is Gallery, and it's called Gallery, the Choreographer's Work. And this is the second year that we've done this. This is a kind of a choreography workshop, and it's the brainchild of our artistic director, Nell Shipman. And this year it will be on March 3rd, 4th, 10th, and 11th. And it features three choreographers from all over, really. We have Fernando Ramos Cintron, who's joining us from Puerto Rico, Annie Kloppenberg, who is coming from Colby, and Savannah Lee, who is coming to us. She's a dancer with Portland Ballet, but she's coming to us via New York City. And they're all doing new works for the company set on our professional dancers. And the show's about an hour long, and we're really looking forward to being able to bring some new works and some new choreography into the Portland art scene.
How does the, you know, bringing in those talents for these, how does that help? As we've been talking earlier about the experiences that young, up-and-coming young local performers have in these various professions. Is it the same with dance? Are they, is this a learning thing? Do they, is this sort of the first step toward finding their way in this career of ballet?
Well, for some it's a first step, and for others it's just a continuation of the work that they've been doing in different locations for years. So some of our choreographers, both this year and last year, were very experienced, and they've done works all over the world, and others, this may be their first or second time on a stage as large as ours. So it works both ways. And also for our audiences, I think it's an educational endeavor as well, because they get to see new works and new movements. And also for our dancers, they're getting to move in different ways than they do, you know, throughout the rest of the season. So I think it's an educational experience for everyone.
All right, Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. We'll let you go and we're going to move on, but thanks for sharing with us today. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us on. Take care.
You know each other. It seems like all of you in the community, you collaborate. But in some ways, aren't you also competing with each other? In other words, you know, you need to sell tickets. People can only go to so many shows at one time. Talk about the balance, I guess, between collaborating, working together to create this community and a demand for arts versus, you know, also, though, going head-to-head for those customers.
I actually disagree. I don't think we're competing at all. I really believe that the more great performing arts that happen in Maine, the more it the ship rises for everyone, or however that
something about boats.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I should know this one, being a Mainer.
Yeah.
You know, New York City is a place where people go out to see live performances 3-4 times a week. And Portland especially, but also Brunswick, Rockland, Camden, lots of places are really becoming well known for their food culture, and people are going out multiple times a week. I think that the performing arts should be tagging along, and that we should be a part of that. You know, I think that if people are going to see the PSO and get excited, they're going to hear Oratorio Chorale do Brahms Requiem there, and then they say, hey, I'd really love to go see them do Messiah next year. Or Portland Chamber Music Festival, it is having Henry Kramer in August. And then, wow, he was amazing, and he's a local Mainer, and he's performing with the PSO this fall. I mean, it benefits everyone. I think, unfortunately, classical arts, and I'm thinking specifically about classical music, but I think also classical ballet, has classical theater, has a stigma as being elitist, and that you know, you have to have read the book and the Cliff Notes before you arrive to be able to enjoy it. And if you're exhausted on a Friday night, why am I going to do that? I think our real competition is Netflix and Amazon streaming. And what I'm constantly working towards is how I find live performance so essential to life, in the same way that I find walking in the woods, eating good food, to make it an experience that is accessible to everyone. I think accessibility has become a dirty word. I really believe that you can have very high standards and make incredibly sophisticated music that is also accessible to all generations and people who are hearing this music for the first time and for the 100th time. And I think the more that we all do that together, it just benefits everyone.
Email from Chris. I would like to recommend Bus Off Ballet as a pre-professional classical ballet program that is a gem and hidden in central Maine and part of Maine Central Institute. I know we're up against a break, but I want to go to Liga in Friendship very quickly here. Hi, Liga. Welcome to the program. Couple seconds here.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my call. I wanted to comment that not only do professionals play a role in the richness of our culture, but non-professionals as well. And I wanted to let you know just how wonderful community-sponsored arts events really need to be celebrated. I sing with Midcoast Community Chorus, and they have a concert twice a year, the second of which supports needs in the community because the proceeds of the concert, which are always sold out, go to a sponsoring an organization that is in need.
And what's your next show coming up?
It's on June 15th at Strom Auditorium in Camden. We draw non-professional singers, and some actually have probably musical training of really high quality. But our folks come from Ellsworth to sing, from Ellsworth and Brunswick at the other end. So it's a broad spectrum, and these wonderful people who sing with Midcoast Community Chorus are dedicated to rehearsals every week and have formed a wonderful community within themselves.
Yeah,
so and it's a non-auditioned chorus with a component for some training, for some trained singers within that. But we sing for the joy of it.
And that's exactly what you should do. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I do appreciate your point. I wanted to bring you in so that you could represent the community performing
Absolutely.
Arts folks, of which I am a big fan, and try to also participate badly, but with great heart. We're going to take a quick break, and the number to join 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
The Collins Center for the Arts is the venue for our next main stage broadcast. We'll hear the Bangor Symphony Orchestra performing Beethoven's King Stefan Overture, the Symphony No. 4 by Robert Schumann, and Johannes Brahms' Concerto for Violin and Orchestra with guest artist Rachel Barton Pine. Please join us Wednesday evening at 8 for Main Stage on Maine Public Classical.
If you're in Portland or surrounding communities and like classical music, give 104.1 FM another try. Our Portland area Maine Public Classical station has been tweaked in a good way, making the signal a bit stronger and go a bit further. This means if you're in Portland or the surrounding communities, you may now find that 104.1 FM brings you the classical music you want. Listening to Maine Public Classical by online streaming has also improved. You can stream Maine Public Classical live at mainepublic.org on your desktop, your tablet, your Apple or Android device, and listen to a new, higher quality stereo stream. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, an update on the performing arts scene in the coming weeks and months. In studio with me, Robin Rylette, morning classical music host and music director of Maine Classical. Emily Isaacson, artistic director of the Oratorio Chorale and Maine Chamber Ensemble, who is also the associate artistic director of the Portland Bach Festival and director of choral activities at Clark University. On the line with us, Kurt Dale Clark, Artistic Director at the Maine State Music Theater. Join the conversation, the number 1-800-399-3566. We're also now going to be joined by Matthew Wiggin, Assistant to the Director's Music Series Coordinator of New England Music Camps. Hello and welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be with you guys today.
Tell us about the New England Music Camp and what it does and what you have coming up.
So the New England Music Camp, we're going into our 81st summer this year. We are a summer music camp for students ages 11 to 18 who show a proclivity for music. We have two bands, two orchestras, two jazz bands, two choirs. We have a full musical theater program. And so my great-grandfather actually started the camp in 1937. And as I'm sure many of you know, and many of you have been a part of our expansion over the last 5 years, we've expanded into Snow Pond Center for the Arts. And so New England Music Camp is just a small component of all the exciting things we're doing now. So this year we opened the first performing arts high school, Snow Pond Arts Academy. We have the Snow Pond Music Festival, which is a college and graduate level music that happens in June. We have the Snow Pond Community Music School, which is, a community music school where you can get lessons and youth orchestras and various other things. We also have an adult music camp now. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We're now 365 days. What was once an 8 week organization is now a year-round program.
So yeah, and does that suggest that
time up at Snow Pond?
Yeah, so does that speak to this idea that there is a, I guess, an upcoming or a newly generated younger group of musicians and performers that's going to supply productions in future?
Well, I hope so. One of the things that my dad, John Wigan, who's the executive director of Snow Pond, always talks about is investing in our future and investing in the children. I think when you look at Maine along the coastline and in Portland and in Brunswick and in Camden, you have a ton of really exceptional music programs and arts programs, and he wanted to kind of give an extra boost to Central Maine. You look at some of the communities around us. We're located in Sydney. You look at Augusta and you look at Waterville. There's a ton of incredible children and a ton of talent in the area. So, you guys were talking about how, we have to invest in the future. And, these kids are incredible. I mean, I was just visiting the high school a couple of weeks ago, and you walk around and you look at these kids, and they're incredible. They're so happy. There's so much talent. The faculty that they have at the Arts Academy is incredible. I think, one of the things we can do by investing in our future and investing in the children is that they're going to stay. The more opportunities we give them, the more likely they are to stay in Maine. And we want to invest in that.
Can I add to that, Keith?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm a fourth-generation Mainer and figured out pretty early on that I wanted to be involved in the performing arts and just did not feel like there was a community around me growing up. And even though I had a couple of good teachers, I didn't feel like I had either the training or the peer group to support that ambition until I left. Oratorio Chorale has started a young artist program to support six very talented high school singers in the choral arts, and I'd love to chat more about that. But one of our singers, who I've known since she was 12, is now participating in the Snow Pond High School, the charter high school. And I think what it has given her, in addition to incredible training, is that sense of support and joy. She was really unhappy in her public high school, which she felt was very sports dominated, and she was a loner as somebody interested in the performing arts. And she really feels like she has found her community, and it has allowed her to invest energy in this art form that she loves in a way I don't think she could have otherwise. So thank you, Matthew.
All right, Matthew, and we're going to
thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. We're going to move to some other folks. We appreciate it. Matthew Wigan, assistant to the director's music series coordinator at New England Music Camp. Thank you so much. Let's go to let's bring in a few other folks here. We'll go to Alan in Gorham. Hi, Alan.
Hello, I'm Alan Kashub. I'm the director of the USM School of Music.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Kurt Dale Clark, and I don't know if Carolyn's still on the phone. A lot of people that our students and our faculty and our alumni work with on a regular basis. And it's just, I also want to thank Kurt Dale Clark for his plug for our students' work with him at Maine State Theater during the summer. We're very proud of those students. I wanted to just encourage listeners to check out our website and see the exciting upcoming events we have. In particular, some things right off the bat, if you are spending your Valentine's Day like me shoveling, you may want to catch the makeup of the snow date of Laura Cargill and Ron Lance doing their annual Valentine's concert at Woodford's on February 19th. March 3rd is the Merry Wives of Windsor opens our opera for the year. March 17th, artist faculty Beth Marshall and Scott Wheatley will be doing a collection of art songs from New England.
That'll
a theme
great.
From New England, it's called. And then we have a real exciting event this year that opens at the Franco-American Heritage Center on April 14th. The departments of theater and art have joined the School of Music in a year-long collaboration with a visiting artist made possible by the Libra Foundation. His name is Paul Drescher. He's a music instrument inventor, and he has been working with the art department students to build and invent musical instruments that are large and theatrical in their scope.
Oh, that sounds
super cool.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, our composers are writing music for it. It's going to be a very exciting event. But
excellent. Alan, thank you so much. I'm going to advise everybody, because we're backed up here, to, if you haven't had a chance to, put your events, your upcoming dates on our Facebook page, our Main Calling Facebook page. It'll all be up there, because we're not going to get to everything here on the radio, but we certainly can share what you have on our Facebook page.
So please put them also on the community calendar at mainpublic.org, because that's something that I look at heavily when I put together Prelude, which comes up on Thursdays. And that's the day when I highlight music from composers and performers from sometimes around the region and sometimes national performers coming in to give you kind of a taste of just how great live performance can really be. And so if we're not going to get to you, clearly this show is just not long enough to touch on even a fraction of all that Maine and New Hampshire has to offer. Please do let other New Englanders know what's coming up by putting your events on that arts calendar. That's mainpublic.org.
Let's go now to Dan Kitch, Executive Director of the Bowdoin International Music Festival. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Pleased to join the conversation.
So we've only got a few minutes left. We've been trying to fit in as many folks as we can. So let's just start and go and talk about what you've got coming up here.
Sure. So our season runs for 6 weeks up in Brunswick during the summer. The season opener is June 26th, and we run through till August 4th. We have close to 100 events. Many of those are free, 18 subscription series concerts. We've got some very exciting guest artists coming this summer, including Anna Kiko Myers, who's going to play the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with our festival orchestra, as well as Joseph Kalkstein, who's going to play Beethoven Emperor Piano Concerto for the season finale in Brunswick.
Excellent. Very cool. Well, I appreciate it. And any questions for
No, I mean, I want to thank you for putting together just an amazing summer music program, Dan, at Bowdoin International Music Festival. It's an internationally recognized program, as is, I want to mention a couple of others, the Pierre Monteux Summer Music Festival. Mm. That's June and July. I mean, he's a legend in the world of classical music, and his legend lives on. Sebago Long Lake Music Festival is celebrating their 45th anniversary this year. Blue Hill Bach is coming up this summer. Portland Chamber Music Festival, Mount Desert Festival of Chamber Music in their 54th season. There's so much. You will be hearing about these on Prelude, but we certainly want you to get the word out as well.
Right.
You know, through whatever venues you can find, so that as many people know about your events as possible.
All right. Dan Kitch, thanks very much for joining us here. I want to go to Patricia in Bangor, who's feeling not well represented, right, Patricia?
That's correct. We're so excited about the music we have up here. Folks down in Portland should know that we have a chamber music series that is remarkable and international. We just had the Danish String Quartet. We're having Olga from the Nordic countries. And we have a winning quartet playing later in the in April. We also have Kneisel Hall. It's one of the best-known chamber music programs in the world, where 50 students from all over study. We have the Blue Hill Bach, as was mentioned, which is really unique because all the instruments are original instruments.
Mm.
It's a marvelous group. We also have Rockport Chamber Music in Rockport, Maine. It's not only chamber music, but all kinds of music, soloists and ensembles as well. We have a whole lot going on in this area, and we want people to know that it is drawing more and more audiences. There's plenty to hear and see and do. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Patricia. She got her Bangor notes in, and of course we wanted to do that. We set out at the top of the show saying that possibly this would illustrate the amount of productions that are going on and the real work that's being done. And I think we've achieved that. It's pretty remarkable.
It is. And there's so much more, too. I mean, I keep coming back to this, but please do put your events on the community calendar at MainePublic.org. It's such a great way to get the word out to people in Maine. We're getting a lot of traffic on that site. And we have so many wonderful programs coming up throughout the year. I'll keep you posted on Prelude. I just think there's a lot.
While you have your calendar out, I would encourage you to put June 18th through the 25th. It's the week after school gets out. That's the new Portland Bach Festival, which is sort of envisioned like the Spoleto Festival in Charleston. It's a combination of the best music, drink, food, and views of Portland, Maine. And this season, in addition to our Bach and Beer, which was wildly successful with Baxter Brewery last year, we're doing Bachtails at the new Bayside Bold renovation, which
I get it.
Yeah. It'll feature specialty cocktails and a number of 15-minute musical sets. It's kids and families are encouraged. And then Bach on a Blanket, where one of our festival concerts featuring Brandenburg 2 and Cantata 147, families can bring a picnic dinner and it will be free outside. It'll be projected. It's
sounds like
great.
Fun. If you can imagine being outside at this point, it takes some imagination. But
I'm dreaming.
Emily, Robin, Kurt, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Emily Isaacson, Artistic Director of the Oratorio Chorale and Maine Chamber Ensemble, also Associate Artistic Director of the Portland Bach Festival and Director of Choral Activities at Clark University. Robin Rylette, of course, Morning Classical Music Host and Music Director of Maine Classical, and Kurt Dale Clark, Artistic Director at Maine State Music Theater. John Keimel ran the board today. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow on the program, join host Jennifer Rooks and two leading psychiatrists for a conversation about the current research and treatment for a range of psychiatric issues, from anxiety to seasonal disorders to dealing with grief. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.